Hi everyone. Today I interview Yoav Schlesinger, an ethics AI director at Salesforce, about bias and ethics in AI. A big thanks to Yoav for doing this, and without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so first, how about you start by just introducing yourself and telling me a random thing you like to do for fun?
Hi everyone, I'm Yoav Schlesinger. I am a principal in the ethical AI practice at Salesforce. And for fun, I like to ride. I have this amazing three-wheel electric scooter that has a top speed of 30 miles an hour and a range of 40 miles, which is super fun. And I like to head out on the weekends on my scooter.
Nice. That sounds fun. And before we get into your background, why don't we start by just telling me about more about what you do today?
Yeah, so I have a really interesting job, which I love. Together with Kathy Baxter, who's the principal architect of ethical AI, we are responsible for thinking about the responsible development and deployment of Salesforce's artificial intelligence across all of our products. So it might turn up in places like a customer service call center to help a call agent, for a question like, how do I reset my router? It might surface, right? Our AI might surface for them the most likely answer and response so they don't have to go and put you on hold and look up a response and all that sort of thing. AI is powering that. AI can power for sales representatives, identifying top prospects for closing deals, and using past transactions and information fed into that model to identify hot leads. Our AI can be used to recommend next best actions for people or to predict for sending emails what time is most likely to get this email open by this person, right? So AI shows up across the entire enterprise of Salesforce. And my role is to work with those product teams, those data science teams, those engineering teams to think about what to include and what not to include in those AI models to ensure that the AI we're putting into our products is unbiased to the extent that's possible, that it's responsible, that it upholds our principles of inclusion and empowerment and those sorts of things, and really helping to work through what might happen if this goes wrong and how can we mitigate those potential negative consequences. So that's a challenge, but it gives me lots of different kinds of challenges each day working across lots of different products.
Yeah, that seems super interesting. And how would you say you first got interested in this field, whether it was like a long time ago or more recently, and if there are any specific findings or learnings that kind of led you in this direction?
Yeah, so back in college, I was actually a religious studies and political science major, but my interest was actually in the intersection of those two things and sort of the ethics of state actors, the ethics of war, the ethics of, right, fill in the blank. And I actually wrote pre-9/11, an honors thesis about the Islamic ethics of war in the Iran-Iraq conflict in the 80s. So I was always sort of interested in this, how do people activate around shared norms, shared values, and how do they create community and then activate on those principles or values? And that took me in a much different direction for a long time. I spent about 15 years in nonprofits, doing nonprofit fundraising, strategy development, was the executive director of a few small nonprofits. But the golden thread that always tied that together was, again, that sort of shared norms and values piece. When I was ready to make a shift in my career, I was kind of trying to think about what is the next thing, right, that needs that kind of normative underpinning. And it was clear at the time, this was 2016, 2017, that tech was the most in need of that steel cabling thread, right? We just emerged from the 2016 elections where the techno-optimism of Web 1.0 ran smack into the brick wall of the Trump era. And it was really clear that there needed to be sort of a societal reckoning around the use of technology and how we thought about its role in society. And so that became the thing that really got my interest. And I went and did sort of responsible investing in tech with a group called Omidyar Network, which is actually a venture philanthropy founded by Pierre Omidyar, who's the founder of eBay. And he sort of, as a representative of that like Web 1.0 world, was really thinking about, okay, this is what the world created through our techno-optimism. How do we now think about what the next version of responsible technology looks like? And in doing that, field building, network building, et cetera, I came across the work that Salesforce was doing and was really impressed by how thoughtfully Salesforce was considering these issues in the context of the enterprise, and knew that that was going to be the place where I would go. And so found my way here, and I've now been at Salesforce for about 2 years.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I know technology is super prevalent in our society today, but what would you say are the most, the biggest impacts and real world implications of ethics and technology in our society?
Oof, that is a big question. I suppose it depends on what sector you're looking at, right? I mean, you can go and you could look at military applications of AI, for example. It's not a space that Salesforce is involved in at all, of course, but you think about autonomous drones or autonomous weaponry, right? And the ability to strike military targets without any human intervention necessarily. Serious consequences for life, for the stability of democracies, for warfare, et cetera, right? You can also imagine the use of AI applications in extractive industries like oil and mining, which could have serious environmental impacts, right? You think about the use of facial recognition technology for surveillance by police and other private actors, where their known biases can certainly have impacts. You look at the use of AI in healthcare and for the either diagnosis of diseases like cancer or for recommendations about treatment courses for people based on diagnosis, et cetera, right? I mean, AI is really probably found in just about every context and every use across industry, across society, et cetera. So when you ask, like, what is the role of AI in society or what could go wrong with AI in society, et cetera, it's really like, where are humans fallible? Because AI is really just built on human values, human expression, human assumptions, human judgments, et cetera, right? AI is built by human beings. We give it its power. It doesn't have power outside of people, right? So where are human failings found? Everywhere. And therefore, that's where AI failings are found, everywhere, right? The idea that AI delivers better outcomes, better inferences, unbiased outcomes, unbiased inferences, et cetera, can be true, but by and large is not really true, right? And those harms and those risks can be found anywhere.
Yeah, and there seems like there's a lot of pros and cons to AI, and especially the ethics regarding that. And would you say that as of now, the pros are outweighing the cons? And if not, what would be those steps to like take towards a world where those pros would outweigh those cons?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that technology in general and AI in specific has tremendous promise, right, to better society. There are applications that for AI that would previously have been inconceivable for people, right? If you think about the scale of automation or the number of inferences, predictions, et cetera, that can be made nearly instantaneously by AI, it's quite frankly mind-boggling, right? I think Salesforce today is making nearly 100 billion AI-driven recommendations a day, 100 billion. But we're just one AI player of tens of thousands of AI players, right? So if you think about the scale of the number of decisions that are being made a day by AI, it's really, truly astounding. So that power, right, can, to your point, work in two different directions. It can work for good, but if it's deployed in irresponsible ways, it can certainly work for harm as well. I don't know whether I would say the good outweighs the bad outweighs the good. I think it's in the hands of AI's creators to determine whether or not it is deployed for good or bad, right? How you build it matters. And there are good ways to build it, and there are less good ways to build it. And the inculcation of the processes and mindset to ensure that it's built responsibly is the critical piece there, right? So ensuring that there's clear understanding of what is bias, where does it happen, how does it manifest, how do we mitigate it, where is risk, how could people's rights be harmed through this, how can we mitigate it, right? What guardrails can we put in place? Like, that mindset in the creation of AI is what will tip the scales ultimately, as more and more AI creators have that as part of the work of building, rather than just saying, what can I do? Asking the question, what should I do?
Right, yeah. And kind of going back to your background a little more, were there any major challenges that you faced either personally or in the field that you work in to kind of get where you are today?
Ethical or responsible innovation, technology, et cetera, is a newly emerging field, right? It's not a well-established discipline yet in industry. Obviously, there are certain large tech companies that have these kinds of groups, Microsoft, Google, IBM, Facebook, Salesforce, right? But it's kind of a privilege of size, scale, and resources to be able to dedicate whole teams to this work, right? And people who are looking to enter the field suffer from that newness in that there's not a lot of pathways into this field. There's very few entry-level jobs, for example, in ethical AI. By and large, it requires a somewhat higher level of seniority to reach that function in a company. So I really lucked out, frankly, that I had the network that would help me get here because it is so new. And I think in 20 or 30 years, we'll look back, right, and say how strange it was that this was not a bigger thing that people did, right? Like in the 80s, the 1980s, should be specific, right? Security was not necessarily a major function of software companies, right? There were worms and bugs flying out all over the place because security practices hadn't yet been integrated in the work of software development. Penetration testing, red teaming, all the functions and things that we now think about as standard procedure before shipping a product hadn't really been ingrained yet. Today, you can't even imagine shipping a product without having done security review, right? I think that's what ethics will be, right? 20 or 30 years from now, like, how could we ever have shipped a product without doing an ethical review? That will be the kind of question we'll be asking. But for today, it's not yet standard procedure, and therefore it's not found everywhere. So like I said, I kind of lucked out in having that network to get me where I am. And I feel really privileged and lucky to be doing this work.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of other fields have a lot of resources that they can always refer to when doing work in like studies and stuff like that. But would you say that navigating your field might be a little bit more challenging given the lack of maybe resources and kind of this new idea that it is today?
Yes, I think there are challenges. I'm not sure whether it's, and resources is certainly one of them. I'm not sure if that's the only challenge, right? I think there still remains a question about the value of ethics, frankly, right? What is the business value of ethics? How do you quantify it, right? It's easy to quantify how many sales are driven by the introduction of a new feature or new feature adoption, new product adoption. It's harder to quantify what is the value of shipping a new ethical feature, right? And so for businesses who want to dedicate resources to this function, there's an essential question that I think needs to be answered, which is, how do I make the case for why this matters? And not just about it being the right thing to do, right? Because that's not always going to work for every business. Doing the right thing, when it costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time, isn't always going to win out in that argument. So I think for a lot of people, that's the first argument that needs to be made. And then beyond that, I think there also remains some degree of skepticism around the idea of ethics at all, frankly, right? Whose ethics are we talking about? How can you really establish an ethical viewpoint? Because aren't ethics entirely contextual and subjective? And isn't the idea that we could establish an ethical viewpoint antithetical to the idea of democracy or technology as a great distributor of opportunity, right? And all these sorts of, again, techno-optimist views of what platforms and technology are meant to do, not constrain things, but to enable things. And so I think that skepticism and suspicion of ethics as an enterprise overall means that the people doing this work who are empowered to do it within companies have an additional set of challenges to win, right? And investment from stakeholders and buy-in to gather in order to make the argument for resources. So like, you'll be given a little bit, but show me it works, and then more will come, right? Show me there's value there. So yes, there are a lot of challenges to doing it. We've seen it at lots of companies, some notable, some less notable, where the people doing the work of ethical AI have been really challenged to get that buy-in and investment and to be enabled to do what is oftentimes very hard work.
Yeah, and I think the question there is, yeah, if it's like really viable and different things about that. And I guess I would ask you, what's your argument to why ethics is important and why we need to consider this when talking about AI and artificial intelligence and stuff like that?
Sure. Well, for me, it's actually really simple. Let's take the case of bias in AI, right? Bias is actually just error, right? It means that error rates, false positive or false negative, are higher for a certain individual or certain group of individuals than for others, right? So your system of facial recognition is less accurate for Black women than it is for white men. So that bias is error. It shows more error, right, in not being able to accurately recognize the faces of Black women. If you are a business, you want the most accurate models possible. Full stop, right? Accuracy equals better product, and better product equals more revenue, right? You sell more to more customers if you have a better product. So the through line for me is actually really clear. Reduce bias, thereby increase accuracy, increase competition, competitive advantage, value, ROI, whatever you want as your business metric on the end of that. So that's not always easily quantifiable, but the logic holds, right? The logic is consistent. How you measure it, how you operationalize it, that's really hard, but I think there's kind of no argument that more accuracy, right? Accuracy is linearly related to business value.
This concludes part one of the interview. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Have a great day. Goodbye.